Let's open our Bible, please, to 1 John. We're going to read just a couple of verses from 1 John chapter 1, and then we'll begin and just spend a little time talking about an important topic this evening from the Word of God about the Christian life. You know, walking is a much recommended form of exercise. Some health and fitness professionals say that it's the best exercise. It's not stressful to the joints or anything like that, and it keeps the body moving, and it's inexpensive. And for most people, walking is free. It doesn't cost anything. Some people say that only 1/4 of all teens get sufficient exercise these days. And I wonder if that's not because of the proliferation of video games. So many people are sitting down playing games instead of getting out there, and young people especially getting out there and playing. Half of all people everywhere don't get enough exercise, but only 1/4 of teens, they say, get enough daily exercise. Walking is mentioned over 200 times in the Bible, and in most cases it speaks of a person's life, not of exercise. And that's what I want us to consider for the next few minutes this evening. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 says, "If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Walking is mentioned twice in these two verses, and walking in the light is what I want us to consider tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would visit with us tonight and help us to be led by your Spirit. And Father, I pray that you would guide the words that are stated and said. And Father, I pray that you'd challenge us this evening, that we would be concerned about walking with the Lord and walking in the light. Help us to understand what that means in the Word of God this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we travel through life, we're instructed in the Word of God to walk carefully. Ephesians chapter 5 is the passage of Scripture I'd like for us to mostly focus on this evening. And we are to walk as children of light, and God's people are expected in the Word of God to live a certain kind of a life. And what does it mean to walk in the light? Well, to walk in the light, first of all, means to conduct oneself according to truth, live by and follow God's Word. We walk in the light. And God has given us light. Jesus Christ spoke of himself being the light of the world. And in three times in Ephesians chapter 5, walking is mentioned. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, the Bible says, "Walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and has given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." And so walk in love, he says. And then again in verse 8, walking is mentioned again. "Walk as children of light, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And then again in verse 15, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." And verse 16 says, "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." And this walk, the word walk, is basically the same word throughout the New Testament. It's the Greek word peripateo, and it means just to tread, to put your feet down. But the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, "Walk circumspectly." In other words, be careful of where you walk and be careful of where you place your feet and how you place your feet. Walk carefully in this life and watch where you place your feet because the main reason is because other people are watching. And it's important for the child of God to properly represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Be careful of how you walk, because your testimony matters. And some people say, and you've heard me say this before, some people say, "Oh, I don't care what anybody thinks of me." Well, in one sense, that may be a good thing, because if you take a stand for truth and righteousness, maybe that will be frowned on by the world. But in another sense, it's very important what people think of you, because they will judge the person of Christ by what they see or who they see in your life. And the Bible says that our testimony is critically important. And so we should walk and live carefully. We should walk circumspectly. We should be careful of how we represent the Lord. Now go back a little bit to chapter 4, verse 17 in Ephesians. The Bible says in 4:17, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." Other Gentiles, what is he talking about there? He's talking about unsaved people. Don't live like unsaved people. You Ephesian people are probably, and I think I'm talking to a house full of Gentiles, but don't walk as other Gentiles walk. Don't walk as unsaved Gentiles. Don't live the way unsaved people live. And that's what he's talking about here. Walk not as other Gentiles walk. Unsaved people. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And there is walking again, but this is the answer to those who imagine that salvation is based upon performance. Doesn't God care if we produce good works? Yeah, he does. In fact, that's one of the things he had in mind when he saved us. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Although salvation is not salvation is not caused by good works, it is something that God had in mind when he saved people. And just the two verses prior to that, 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And then verse 10 that we've read, "For we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." That is God's plan, that his children would be transformed, that they would be different, that they would emulate or simulate the life of Christ in their life, and be careful how they live and how they walk, because somebody else is watching them. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." And this is about, once again, this is about testimony. Testimony is very important. Be very careful not to misrepresent truth. And don't go too far with the idea that you don't care what somebody else thinks. And don't live the life of a hypocrite, and don't be just into outward appearance. The Bible condemns all of that. But be genuine, be real, and be godly, and walk in the light. Because a lot of people will be watching you, and they will learn who Christ is based on your own lifestyle. Be very careful not to misrepresent him, because somebody is watching you. And so the Bible says, walk circumspectly. And there in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, the Bible says, walk in love. In other words, respond to life circumstances with godly love rather than the normal response. What is the normal response of life when we are confronted by life circumstances? The normal response is to get frustrated or angry about that and to lash out at somebody. That's the normal human response, isn't it? When somebody faces the circumstances of life that are displeasing to them, the Bible says walk in love, and so demonstrate the love of Christ. Walk in love as Christ also loved us, hath given himself for us for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. What's that about? Well, Christ's sacrifice to God was motivated by love, and it was accepted. It was appreciated by God. And the Bible says it's a sweet-smelling savor. It's something that God appreciates. It's something that God regards. And he desires that his people, likewise, walk in love, as Christ walked in love. And so And so walking in the light means to conduct oneself according to truth. And what that means is we live carefully and we walk in love as Christ hath loved us. Look at chapter 5 once again. We'll look at verses 1 through 8, the larger context of this. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. And that's a powerful statement. Be a follower of God and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. In other words, don't live an immoral lifestyle. Oh, what difference does it make? What difference does it make? It makes me feel good. It doesn't properly represent the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible condemns it as sin and certainly is not the way a child of God should live. The Bible says reject those things, reject fornication and covetousness and uncleanness. Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And 1 Corinthians 6 gives another list that's sort of like that. And God tells very clearly who's saved and who's not saved. People who live with this lifestyle demonstrate in so doing that they are not saved. Verse 6 says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye now therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. In other words, now that you're saved, your life should be very different than it used to be. And anybody who says, you know, I wasn't saved and then I got saved, should be able to see a difference in their life, should be able to define a difference. And the Bible says one of those differences, now you're able to walk in love, whereas you couldn't walk in love before. And this is described as being part of walking in the light. It means to conduct oneself according to truth. And the Bible says that we should be truthful. This is a biblical principle and ought to be obeyed. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 and following. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. What is all this about? Don't lie. Don't be angry. Make sure you don't sin. If you get angry, don't give place to the devil. Don't steal. Instead, work for what you need. Don't steal it from somebody else. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Of course, this is all about Christian testimony and living the kind of life that God would have his child to live. Verse 30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And this is all about walking in the light, walking carefully, walking in love, being honest and truthful, and being willing to forgive. Go back a little bit to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 11, the Bible says in 19:11, you shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. And this is about honesty. And look at 1 Samuel 15, chapter 15 of 1 Samuel, chapter 15, verse 29. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 29 says this. 15:29 says, and also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. And God is always perfectly honest and perfectly truthful, and that's one of the great blessings of knowing the Lord and having a Bible that you can go to where you can read in your Bible, and if God said it, that settles it. He'll always be honest and truthful. Proverbs 14, verse 5 says, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. And then, of course, in the New Testament, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 19, the Bible speaks concerning honesty and this as a Christian virtue. Colossians chapter 3, verse 19 says this, husbands, love your wives, be not bitter against them. And that's not the verse that I wanted, by the way. Although it's a good verse, it's true. That's not the one that I wanted. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. 1 Timothy 2, 7 says, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. And truthfulness, listen, truthfulness should characterize the saint. Truthfulness should characterize the child of God. And this has to do with walking in the light. To walk in the light means, as I said, to conduct oneself according to truth. It means to properly represent the Savior, Jesus Christ. We read in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. In other words, walk in the light as He is in the light. In other words, be like Christ. But how can I do that? How can I be like Christ? How can I be like the Lord Jesus Christ? By being controlled by the Spirit of God. And in Mark chapter 7, we see a bad example of this sort of thing. And this, we are not to follow this example in Mark chapter 7, verse 5 and 6. But the Bible says that he marveled because, that chapter, it should be in chapter 7, verse 5 and 6. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And this is not the way God's people are supposed to live. We do not properly represent Christ if we're only just professing to be something, but we're not really that. And it's easy to say, oh, I'm this or I'm that or I'm the other thing. But to follow through with that and actually be that is something entirely different. To walk in the light means to properly represent Jesus Christ, to represent Him accurately. To walk in the light means to have an understanding of truth. And look with me in your Bible to John chapter 8, verse 12. To have an understanding of truth, in John chapter 8, verse 12, the Lord Jesus Christ said, the Bible says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And we read also this same principle in 1 Timothy chapter 1. We're talking about having an understanding of truth and not walking in darkness as a result of that, because it has changed us. It has made us different than we used to be. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 says, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers and manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for menstealers, for liars, for perjured persons, if there be any other thing that's contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for it, that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And what's that about? It's about the fact that a person should be different when they're saved. The Lord saved them for a reason. And He intends to give them a new life. The Apostle Paul said a little bit later on, that I'm the chief sinner. In fact, in verse 15 of this same chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 1, he said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And this is something that God wanted to change about him. You see, life and immortality, look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 with me for a moment. The Bible says in verse 8, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and calls with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. What is his own purpose and grace? What is God's purpose? Why does he call sinners to repentance? So he can save them from hell. Well, that's one reason. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But he wanted to change us and make us new so that we could give glory to his name. And what is it that glorifies God in salvation? Because somebody's not the same as they used to be. They're not the same as they once were. They're different now. They've got a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ, and walking in the light speaks of that new life. I used to walk in darkness and didn't really care much what anybody thought about the Lord Jesus Christ. But when I got saved, he changed me and made me a new person in the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 10 says, but now is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought to life immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle. Look at verse 12. For which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. For this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. And he prays for others who would live for Christ and who would follow the truth and have an understanding of truth. Because that's why, you know, to live according to truth, to walk in the light, is one of the main reasons why God saves sinners to begin with. He wants them to bring honor and glory to the name of the Lord. And walking in the light means to have an understanding of truth. And we don't know all that will happen, specifically when, but we know what will happen in the sense that when God gives his word about something, it's sure. When God gives his word about something, it's sure. You can count on that. You can bank on that, as it were, because God doesn't lie. And if we respond to the truth on that level, that God's going to keep his word, I know he's going to. I know he will. I understand the truth. I can discern the truth of God's word, and I can claim his promises, and I know this will happen. That's powerful. Most people cannot say, and they think there's something wrong with somebody who says they know for sure that they're going to heaven when they die. They think that person must be twisted in their thinking somehow. But there are a lot of things that we know for sure just because God has promised. And the Bible says in Titus chapter 1, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. And if he can't lie and he promised it, that means it'll happen. That means it'll happen. And do you have eternal life? Do you know for sure that your sins are forgiven? And if you were to die today, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven to be with the Lord? Well, walking in the light means that we understand truth. God never loses track of things. And God is never not in control of what's happening. But if we are those who walk in the light, we can be at rest in any situation because we can claim his promises and know that they're going to be accomplished, know that they're going to be fulfilled. God will accomplish his word. He will. He promised it. And walking in the light means that we understand his truth and we live by it and we have comfort in the Spirit. I was reading just today in Psalm 37, one of my favorite psalms, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Fret not thyself. Delight thyself in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. And don't fret because of the things that are happening around you. Don't fret. God promises he will fulfill his truth in your life. And there's no reason for us to be worried or troubled. You can be at rest in any situation because you know that he rules all things. Look at Psalm 57. Psalm 57, verse 2 says this, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He's reliable. He's dependable. You can trust his word. And no matter what's happening in your life, you can commit that to God and you know that he will accomplish his purpose in it. Psalm 119, verse 126 to 129, more good verses on this subject. Psalm 119, 126. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. And this is the person who has an understanding of the truth and who is committed to following and obeying and serving and trusting the Lord no matter what happens, because God is always truthful. That's walking in the light, having an understanding of truth, and living consciously and living deliberately so that he might be glorified, because you want his truth to be seen. You want his holiness and his righteousness and his love to be seen by others around you. It means to properly represent the Lord Jesus Christ in a world that really doesn't know much of anything about him. I think it's so sad to hear people using the Lord's name in vain, and at the same time, many times they'll say that they know God and they love God, and yet they use his name as though it were a curse or an expletive. And how can someone who really knows the Lord? You know, just recently we focused on Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, which says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And the more that you know the Lord, the better that you know the Lord, the more that you love him and the more you want to love him and the more you want to understand and draw close to his great heart. And that's one thing that is very unique about knowing God. I said that there are a lot of people that you know and you don't care to know them any better. You know plenty about them already and you don't care to draw any closer to them. Maybe they're not your kind of people, but when you know the Lord, you always want to know him better and more closely and more exhaustively. And walking in the light means you're always seeking his face, you're always seeking him, and you always want to please him and see him accomplish his great work, his great purpose in your life. And you understand truth, and you want to represent him properly. You conduct yourself according to truth because he is true. Look at Revelation chapter 4. We'll look in chapter 4 and chapter 21 for just a second. And then we'll conclude this particular study, Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. And this is praise that's attributed to God, that's given to the Lord in heaven one day. You're worthy, Lord, you're worthy to receive glory and honor and praise and power. You create all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. What a glorious message that is. What a great word of praise that is for the Lord. He is worthy. Look at Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, verse 5 through 7 says this, He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. What a great, What a great reminder. Nothing lacking there. The Lord is able to meet every need. He will make all things new, and the one who knows him will inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. What a great, great truth that is. All things, I think it's interesting, all things, and often it's found in the Old Testament, and it's not talking about all that God does for people, but frequently in the New Testament it is. Nearly 400 times all things appears in the Bible. And God is the controller, and God is the creator, and God is the worker of all things. He can clearly accomplish his purposes. Have you ever failed at accomplishing yours and realized, I can't do this, I just can't do this? If it's something that the Lord would have done, he can do it, and he will do it. He'll accomplish it. So just trust him and be determined that you're going to properly represent him in this world. Be determined you're going to respond to truth as you ought to respond to truth. Be determined that you're going to not misrepresent the Lord Jesus Christ in our world. And people will see him as they see you living in him and see him living through you. Let's pray.